Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues, those on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment with us may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as things like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, climate change, carpal tunnel, concussion, etc., etc. You can do this by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the On Demand section, then scroll all the way down and select the Your Health shows. Then you can click on the individual show by topic. It's really a great convenience. Today, we're going to do something a little different. You may know that we have talked about on the show the effects of climate change on your health, as well as the importance of nature to your health, including the deleterious effects of environmental degradation. If you missed those shows, you can find them on Robinhood Radio's website. But don't worry, there are no prerequisites for this particular show. And today we're going to explore a more specific topic that is interwoven into all these other arenas. We're going to talk about GMOs and health, that is, about genetically modified organisms, particularly as those used in agriculture. First, let's explain what GMOs actually are. GMO stands for genetically modified organism. More correctly, they should actually be called genetically engineered organisms. Either means that the genetic material of the organism, in other words, the genes containing the DNA that controls the organism's physiology and its traits, those genes, that DNA, has been modified by molecular biology genetic engineering techniques to include new or altered genes that give the organism traits and biological processes that it would not otherwise express if left to its innate biology and DNA. This is quite a different process than traditional plant or animal breeding, where different strains of plants or animals are crossed using their usual innate mating and reproductive processes to select for desirable traits. For example, like selecting breeds of cattle that endure winter better, or that produce more milk without added hormonal stimulation, by mating the most cold-hardy or prolific milk-producing cattle with each other. Or, in another example, breeding apple varieties that store better for longer periods or have a sweeter flavor by cross-pollinating between the best apple strains. Or, in another example, selecting for breeds of horses that can run faster by mating the fastest individual horses in a given population, or creating breeds of dogs with long, silky hair by crossing the individual dogs with the longest, silkiest hair with each other to get all long, silky-haired puppies, etc., etc. In traditional breeding and crossing, the mating of animals or plants is controlled so that selected individuals are mated with other selected individuals that are likely to produce offspring with the desired traits. Or individual plants are pollinated with the pollen from other individual plants so that the seed produced will likely produce plants with the desired traits. This is sometimes called hybridization when performed using particular strains of plants or animals. But using these methods in order to produce offspring, you generally have to make your crosses within closely related species or within the same species, or there will not be successful fertilization and development of the embryo, plant, or animal. One notable exception to this same species rule of biology is the production of mules, which are a controlled cross between a donkey and a horse. The mule will be successfully fertilized, developed, and delivered in the mother horse, but mules are infertile themselves, so they can't breed together, and they must always be rebred from a cross between a donkey and a horse. So in the wild, any crosses between horses and donkeys would only be limited to one generation and would not proliferate as a new species. In genetically modified, aka genetically engineered, plants and animals, molecular biology techniques are used to insert the genetic material from another organism directly into the genome of the target plant or animal, or otherwise to directly alter the genetic material, thereby completely bypassing the usual reproductive anatomy and physiology, and thereby bypassing any natural limitations to how much change can be effected in the target organism by its own innate biology. Traits like herbicide resistance, produce longevity, increased cold and drought hardiness, increased vitamin content, and other traits have been introduced into many agricultural crops in this manner. So, enough already on the background. What's the big deal anyway? Well, many healthcare professionals have begun to question the safety of GMO foods for two reasons. One, the insertion of foreign or altered genetic material into a given species can result in the production of substances in that plant or animal that would not otherwise be found there and which may cause life-threatening allergic or other reactions in people who eat the genetically altered food. For example, a gene from a cold water fish was introduced into strains of strawberries and citrus to induce frost resistance, but the resulting protein could induce allergic reactions in people who are allergic to seafood. Two, Most GMO crops have been engineered to survive and grow and mature in fields subjected to extensive sprays with weed killers, usually called herbicides. Most GMO crops were developed to resist glyphosate, which is generally used in some commercial form of Roundup products produced by Monsanto. It turns out that the weeds are developing increased resistance to the glyphosate-based weed killers, of course. So more and more spray and more new kinds of toxic spray has to be used to control the weeds. And it turns out that some of the most common weed killers like glyphosate that had been ruled as, quote, safe for humans, unquote, are likely cancer-causing, as well as likely causing neurological deficits, birth defects, and many other problems in areas where these weed killers are widely used. And recent evidence shows that weed killer residue on the GMO plants grown in this manner is far greater and more persistent than originally reported. That is, that residue is in the food you are eating. In the United States, glyphosate use has increased from approximately 0.4 million kilograms in 1974 to approximately 113 million kilograms in 2014, a 250-fold increase. Glyphosate-resistant weeds are a huge problem on almost 100 million acres in more than 30 states. The resistant weeds require the use of higher volumes, stronger, and multiple chemical content herbicides to eradicate. In response to this problem, this year, in 2015, the EPA approved a new weed killer combining glyphosate and 2,4-D, called Enlist Duo, to be used on a new generation of GMO crops that have been engineered to survive repeat sprays with this new dual herbicide. 2,4-D is one of the components of the old Agent Orange used to eradicate foliage in the Vietnam War, and which likely left many veterans with neurological and other health issues. Many physicians worldwide are very concerned about how this will impact human health. But you don't have to take my word for it. In March of this year, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, a subbody of the World Health Organization, the WHO, released an important report stating that their review of the research literature regarding toxicity of several weed killers, including glyphosate and 2,4-D, led them to conclude that glyphosate is a, quote, probable human carcinogen, and 2,4-D a, quote, possible human carcinogen. These are strong statements for this respected global research organization and were based on comprehensive review and evaluation of the scientific, peer-reviewed literature that, among other things, linked these chemicals to dose-related increased occurrence of malignant tumors in different tissues in animals and linked glyphosate to increased occurrence of lymphoma in people as just two examples of what they found. A recent letter entitled GMOs, Herbicides, and Public Health from Drs. Philip Landrigan, who was an MD from the Department of Preventive Medicine in the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, New York, and Charles Benbrook, a PhD from the Department of Crop and Soil Sciences in Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, in the August 2015 New England Journal of Medicine, presents strong concerns about this issue and does an excellent job of summing it up. The authors also discuss the flaws in the outdated EPA research to determine the safety of the new generation of GMO crops that have been created to withstand numerous herbicides, like that brand new Enlist Duo herbicide approved by the EPA, based on outdated 20th century trials that did not look at things like endocrine system disruption or the potential effects on children and infants. Enlist Duo, remember, is that combination of glyphosate and 2,4-D, one of the herbicides in Agent Orange, the deadly herbicide that defoliated swaths of forest in the Vietnam War. These respected writers recommend that the EPA delay its decision to allow the use of Enlist Duo on food crops, and that the EPA update the research to reevaluate its safety. They also recommend labeling GM food. And let me give you a quote directly from their letter. Quote, "We believe the time has come to revisit the United States' reluctance to label GM foods. Labeling will deliver multiple benefits. It is essential for tracking emergence of novel food allergies and assessing effects of chemical herbicides applied to GM crops. It would respect the wishes of a growing number of consumers who insist they have a right to know what foods they are buying and how they were produced. And the argument that there is nothing new about genetic rearrangement misses the point that GM crops are now the agricultural products most heavily treated with herbicides, and that two of these herbicides may pose risks of cancer. We hope, in light of this new information, that the FDA will reconsider labeling of GM foods and couple it with adequately funded, long-term post-marketing surveillance." End quote. Very well said. So at this point, you may be asking yourself the question, why are we talking about all this in a show about your health by an osteopathic physician? Osteopathic medicine is about total health, and you, as a whole person, are in health when all of your body, mind, and spirit are working together optimally as one successful ecosystem of life. That all depends on fresh, vital, non-toxic nutrition in order to thrive. Just as your physiology cannot work optimally unless the anatomy housing that physiology is working optimally, neither can any of it work optimally when you are fed toxic, low nutrient, or potentially carcinogenic, or immune, or endocrine system disrupting food. As osteopathic physicians, we work with our patients on optimizing all the aspects of their health for body, mind, and spirit, including nutrition, exercise, environmental adaptation and tolerance, and of course, the optimization of the structure and anatomy of your body in order to optimize the function and health of the entire person. So these kinds of public health issues are very important in our practice and indeed in all of our lives. So what should we do about all this? There's a great deal of information and some misinformation out there from both sides of the issue. Stay informed and active. This is a huge issue globally and locally. The National Academy of Sciences reviewed the safety of GM crops in 2000 and 2004 and looked primarily at the genetic aspects of the technology, after which they reported that GM food offered no particular hazard to human health. But they did note that this approach had the possibility of creating unanticipated allergens or toxins and of affecting the nutritional value of food crops. The National Academy of Sciences also recommended at that time that new risk assessment tools and post-marketing surveillance be implemented, which has for the most part not been done. But at that time also many issues were left unexamined, including the effects of the heavy reliance on herbicides with GM foods. The National Academy of Sciences has now convened a new committee to reassess the impacts of GM crops on the environment and on human health, society, and economy, but with a report not expected out before 2016, and likely it'll be later than that. So meanwhile, what do we all do? One, make sure to eat non-GMO organic food as much as possible. Currently, USDA-certified organic food is not permitted to be GM. Know your farmer. Two, test your well water for contamination with glyphosate. You can contact Microbe Innotech Laboratory, which is an independent lab willing to test for organophosphates like glyphosate for a standard fee. Their phone number is 800-688-9144. Their website is www.microbeinotech.com, which is spelled microbeinotech.com. 3, vote, lobby, and support labeling of all GM food for the sake of your and your children's health. And 4, support your local non-GM farmers, CSAs, and farm stands. We all benefit from that. Well, looks like I used up my time already. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your questions, comments, and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you'd like a list of references and contacts from today's show, you can also email a request for that information to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. Make sure to give a reply email and I will get that information back to you. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathic medicine, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990. Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sunday evenings at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, get in touch, and thanks for listening.